Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you on this Father's Day weekend. I tell you what, it's one of those weekends that we like to usually go out and do barbecuing and just have some good outdoor activities with the Father's Day events as they come out. But obviously in Iowa, we got a little bit of rain and stuff in the forecast, so we'll see how all that stuff plays out. But still, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in the teaching today, but to all those men out there, Happy Father's Day. With that being said, we've got a few things I'd just like to touch base on this morning. Thank you for listening to KBOE 104.9 FM on your radio, and maybe you're traveling down the highway today. You've tuned us in. We're talking on a great teaching series on what it means, men, the five marks of what it means to be a man. We're going to be looking at mark number two today, but I want to thank you for listening. Also, too, maybe you're on your way to church. Just thank you for taking time out as you travel. And as you head to church, and maybe like I hear from a lot of you, this is your, on Sunday morning, this is the time that this is your church at home, or whether you're traveling about. And I just want to thank you so much for being part of Vital Ministries. But we also, too, we have some three things I want to touch on this morning before we jump into the teachings. Number one, just a reminder, we send out devotionals out 6 days a week. For the men, we have five different writers that write for us. They do an exceptional job. I write on Monday, and just so many of these guys just do a great job, and I just really appreciate them giving their time and how it applies. It's a nugget in our day of how it encourages us as men to live out a godly man's life. Also, too, my wife writes for the women, and she talks to the ladies, and just some really good stuff. So I just encourage you to get on to vitalministries.org, and you can actually get that sent right to your phone on an app as well. Also, too, we have our couples ride, which will actually be less than a week. It's going to be on June 27th, next Saturday. We're having a couples ride. We're going to be leaving out of Oskaloosa at 7 o'clock. We're going to be headed down to southeast Iowa. So it's going to be a great opportunity to get out. We're going to see some the beauty of the Iowa countryside and just enjoy time as couples on a motorcycle. And we're going to stop, and we'll have hopefully find a place for lunch somewhere along the way. But again, that's June 27th. Encourage you to be a part of that. And also, too, just a reminder, we are going to have our Vital Gathering again. We've been off on that we've missed the last two times just due to the COVID-19. But we are going to do Vital Gathering July 12th, which is going to be on a Sunday at Debbie Celebration Barn in Oskaloosa, Iowa. And it will start at our normal time from 5 to 7 with the exclusion of a couple things, just to the fact of the awareness of the situation and the gathering, and also to keeping everybody safe and social distancing. This event is going to be outside, and we're going to be, again, at Debbie Celebration Barn. We're going to be on the east side. We'll have a live Vital Ministries band that will be playing for us, and we'll have water, bottled water, and also bottled iced tea, keeping all those things, making sure that you're safe and also your family safe. And all we ask is that you bring a lawn chair, and then we can get that social distancing that we need to be watchful of and being very careful. And we're also, too, at the end, we're going to have Schwann's ice cream truck there, and you can get your favorite ice cream. We'll take care of that. So we're just going to have a great time. Again, that's going to be at July 12th from 5 to 7 on Sunday. And that will be a great opportunity as families, as we can come to join together. Our theme is going to be Rise Up. And I think that's just at a very critical time of not only in our spiritual life, but also too in the life of what we live in our everyday, ordinary life of where our country is at. So just going to encourage you as well to be a part of that as well. So just be watchful as these different events. Again, go to vitalministries.org and check out all the things that are up and coming. But again, what a great Sunday. And like I said earlier, it is Father's Day. And happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there today. Just what a day to celebrate what it means not only to be a father, but also to manhood itself. And I'm very fortunate that I have my dad in the same community, a hardworking and loving dad. Just recently, my dad and I went to his construction site. We had this thing he's been building, and he wanted to show me what was going on. And they're building a 20-acre pond for a man by the name of Harry Stein. That's his property's about 30 miles straight west of Grimes, Iowa. And my dad's never had this experience about building this big pond. And he says, Mike, is there any way that you can go and take a look at it? So My dad, he runs a dozer for Craig Hall in Oskaloosa, and he loves doing it. And Craig is just a great man of God and really watches out and takes care of my father. And I just want to send out big kudos to Craig for doing that as well. My dad was so excited about this project that he kept after me. You got to come and see it. So we head out an hour and a half later, and we're on the west side of Grimes, Iowa. And it's going to be one of the biggest private ponds of its size in our state. Now, bear in mind, I want you to keep this in mindful. My dad is going to be 79 years old in just a few days and still running a dozer. I'm just excited that my dad is able, that the Lord has blessed him with health, and he can get out and get on with it. I just love that. My dad and I talk most days. It's not long. If you know my dad, it's pretty short and quick, but we touch base. But my dad is one of my greatest friends. We've laughed together, we've cried together, and most of all, we've talked a lot about life. My dad, he's got this, some of the men in Oskaloosa call him, he's the Clint Eastwood of Oskaloosa. But that's what Father's Day's about. I have a son and a daughter from my first marriage, and two stepsons and a stepdaughter with my wife, and a son-in-law and two daughter-in-laws and seven grandkids. And I love being a dad, a papa, especially in this Father's Day time. And I take that responsibility very seriously. And I know that a lot of men do the same. And some of you men out there today may not be married yet or in a situation, maybe you're dating or not, but just it's a good time as men to be mindful of that and just what it takes to be a father. That's probably why I like teaching this series that we're talking about here in the next 5 weeks, is the five marks of a man. And I believe all men have an opportunity to take place a positive mark in being the man who God's called them to be. And I would say even more importantly, to pass those marks on to their sons as well about what it means to be a man, and also those five marks. Today we're going to look at mark number two. Men take a minority position. Now, this is what that means. That means that we stand firm, that we aren't afraid to stand against the tide when we are resolved in what we believe. It's very important to stand firm in the waves that we are facing even today. They're big waves, aren't they? When you think about it, all the things that are coming at men, and also too about coming against manhood. And a lot of times in our culture, in our society, being a man is not necessarily recognized as being a positive influence of our culture. And matter of fact, a lot of times it's downplayed and no longer placed of importance of what men are called to be. Men are called to lead. Lead in their families, lead in their communities, lead in their state, and some of those lead in the nation. But point number one is this. Boys want to go with the flow, but men are willing to stand against the tide. I found that the world wants us as men to all, much of the time, that they want us all to look alike, resemble the characteristics of what it means to be a man, as opposed to being what I would call a self-identity. They want us to think alike, that we should all have the same way of thinking, that this is how a man should live and how a man should think. Now, with that being said, the importance of following what Christ tells us is essential. But what the culture tries to tell us is outside of what it means, the biblical presence of manhood, that they want us all to be thinking the same way. Think this way. This is how you should act. They also want us, I think, many times to look alike. And I think what they mean by that, you go into a lot of different things. Men should look as this appearance. And what I mean by that is all you have to do is check out your men's magazines. Culture will try to tell us this is what we're supposed to look like. I'm sorry, guys, but we're not all going to be men who I can go back in my 20s and might have a slight resemblance of what those magazines might have looked back in the day. But I tell you what, I'm 60 years old, and there's no way that's going to happen without me being absolutely focused on lifting weights, doing crunches, and all that stuff. I'm sorry, I don't have time to do that. I'm working, and I do what I do. But also, too, I think it's important for us to realize that we're never going to meet up with what the culture tries to tell us, nor should we, but we are called to be men. And with that, we have differences, and we're going to talk about independence and interdependence later on today. But it's important for us to be the man that God has called you to be. Today, some men go and get, this is unbelievable. Some men will go out and get butt implants, calf implants, manicures, waxing, and even pedicures. Man, that blows my mind of all the things of a man, of how they're... Now, again, I'm not saying that it's not good for a man to have a good image. I'm not saying that, nor is it good for a man, not that it's good for a man to have good hygiene. Again, that's important as men. We need to look, we need to shower regularly, comb our hair, and be presentable. I'm not saying that we should not, but what I am saying, these things about the other, the world wants to put in our minds because they always want us to look into the mirror and see we got to look at this stature and this way of being man and what it means to be a manhood. But too often men just want to go what I call going with the flow. Boys as boys being more so not stepping into what it means to be a man, but also living a way that is not what manhood is about. We spend much of our time in the outer man as opposed to what the inner man, that's the significance, that's the foundation, who we are. See, Jesus, without a doubt, stood against the tide. He was a carpenter, and he was raised in Nazareth. Now, that might not mean something, but he was downplayed because of both things. Well, he's just the carpenter. Or, no, he's just that man from Nazareth. Can anything be or be, that can come good from Nazareth itself? Matter of fact, Nazareth was known as a little bit of a rebel town, a place where no good ever came out of Nazareth. And that's where Jesus spent majority of his time growing up with his father and with his mom. But see, Jesus... He goes against the tide. He's a man who stands against the current. And Jesus makes his first sermon from the Sermon on the Mount. And if you go to Israel, it's called the Mount of Beatitudes. It's a beautiful place. It's a grassy hillside. And Jesus is speaking to the multitudes. He's having this opportune time in his ministry when it's beginning to teach them about biblical things that are spoken in the Old Testament, but he's bringing it into the New Testament so it applies to them today as well as it does for us. He says this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 through 14, and I think this is important for us to listen to today. It says this, "You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gates are wide. For many will choose that way. But the gate of life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few find it." Some of the best adventures, as I look at roads, have been on my motorcycle, and it's on those adventures when I get off the normal roads, the busy highways and the smaller highways, or even as we call them in Iowa, the Iowa byways that are less taken. It's on the byways that you see what I call rural Iowa. The towns, you see the places of where people live. You'll see hardworking people living there. They know each other. They work together. They go to school together. And most of the time, oftentimes, they will attend church together. I used to go with my dad on these WHO tractor rides. It's been some years past, but I went with him on a couple of those rides. And as we always drove through small towns because of being, I don't know if you've ever got behind a line of guys riding their tractors, it can be frustrating. Trust me, I've been behind that. But man, they'll have hundreds of men that will go on this WHO tractor ride. And a lot of times they'll go through small rural communities in Iowa. Now, here's the interesting thing that I saw when I was with my dad riding on that tractor, and I'd never experienced this before, but as we'd travel into those small towns, the streets were lined up as we entered in, and people were waving and just to experience all the different tractors as they went through town. It was as if we were literally heroes as we were riding on those tractors. See, I think Jesus was wanting people to know that the wide road was the road of the majority. Living life, but on their own terms. Living a life that everyone else lived. And that's what the wide gate is. It's no change. You just simply go with the flow, and you don't go against the tide. I believe we need more men today who are willing to go against the majority flow. Now, I'm going to make this statement here that many will not like what I'm about to say, but I think it's important. And this is what I've seen as I've experienced as I've watched some of the things on television most recently. I have to say I'm disappointed with our coaches and how they're allowing high school students to take a knee during the national anthem. Yes, I'm sure right now that is a rub as you hear me speak it. But that isn't the place to draw a line. The majority of young people are doing it as a standout in a way that I believe should we can do those things in a different way, in a different manner. Yes, I believe with all that's within me that we should be standing up for all men and women of all races. But the important thing is this. During the national anthem, that was paid with a price. That was paid with men and women of all races that have been in our country in the military. And that price was paid with many lives. Now, I'm going to leave that here this morning. I'm not going to push on that agenda. But sometimes, folks, that's a going against the majority. Minority, when you stand up with the minority and what is right, I want you just to think about moments like that. I want you fathers, as you think about your sons and your daughters that are playing ball, what is it that you want to instill in them of what's important? Where is the place to draw the line of what is right? That's up to you. So we need men to stand against what I think, again, with the tide, that hold firm to their faith and that have a relationship with God so they know how and when to stand. It's time for men to be equipped in God's word and to get not only to be equipped in it, but also too, I'm going to go back into being in shape. Guys, men, listen to me this morning. I believe we are not only coming against what I believe one of the greatest physical battles that's yet to come, but I also believe it's one of the greatest spiritual battles that's about to happen. We have got to be prepared. We have got to be men who are willing to stand as the minority as opposed to going with the majority and doing what everybody else is doing. That brings me to point number two. Boys want to fit in. Men aren't afraid to stand out. King Ahab, if you read about him in 1 Kings 18, was a man who wanted to fit in. He had a dominant wife by the name of Jezebel. He was what I would call a weak leader, a weak king, and also, too, he was weak within his position of authority. See, King Ahab had a prophet by the name of Elijah who was always calling him down. It says in verse 17 that when Ahab saw Elijah, that he says this to him, "Is it you, you troubler of Israel?" See, Elijah was a minority type guy. He wasn't afraid to stand out. Matter of fact, he's depicted in the Bible that his outfit was a camel hair and a leather belt. I tell you what, you stand out. You don't look like the norm. But that didn't bother Elijah because he was a man of God who was willing to go against the majority. He was willing to stand out and speak truth in the midst of when everybody else was going and following a false god by the name of Baal. Elijah stood the test of time and became the man of God, and I believe one of the many great prophets in the Bible. See, Elijah, he was a man's man, but he was also a God's man, and he followed God fearlessly and did what God had called him to do. Now, King Ahab was rich. He was a king. Not only was he rich, but he was also powerful. Matter of fact, in his kingdom, people literally feared him. You cross this guy, it could possibly cost you your life. But this didn't bring any fear to Elijah. See, Elijah, he was a truth-sayer. See, Elijah, he was a minority type of man. He makes his statement in verse 21. Elijah comes near the people of God and he says this, "How long will you go limping between two opinions?" Two different opinions. If the Lord is God, follow him. But if it's Baal, follow him. So he gives the people a choice. Which will you do? Will you follow the majority who at the time of Israel, when they were living at that state, they were following and abiding to what King Ahab and following Baal? But the minority followed God of Israel. See, we need men today to make a choice. All men know who you are and what race that you are and who you are following. See, the majority is the minority. See, real men who follow God ask and stand for what is right. They want to make a difference in their city, in their communities. We need men to be more than just elders, deacons, or even board members. We need to get involved in our community, to be on school boards, city boards, and involved where we do life itself. I've been on the Planning and Zoning Committee for Oskaloosa for the last 2 years, and it's been my way of giving back to the city that I live. I have an understanding of construction. The Lord has blessed me in a great way of having that understanding, and I want to use that talent that God has given me to give back into the community in which I live. So only once a month we go and we have our meetings, our planning and zoning meetings, and we make sometimes tough decisions. Sometimes we have to be the minority, and we don't always go with the majority, and we vote no sometimes on things that people want us to ask that it's okay. I've also joined recently our sheriff's posse. Now again, I want you to understand this by me saying that statement. It's not for position, nor was it for power, but it was to help in what I call these troubled times, to be a support to helping our sheriff's department. I like Russ Van Ritterham, and I believe in this guy, the sheriff of our community in Mahaska County. He's a good man trying to lead in our community. And with that being said, I want to be a part and do my part. Now, again, not all of us want to join the planning and zoning. Not all of us want to join the sheriff's posse. But there's multiple things that men can step into and join and help in their communities. It's important, men, to never allow the majority to dictate your beliefs and your actions. Winston Churchill, he makes this statement. You have enemies? Good. That means you've stood up for something sometime in your life. It's not about being the good old boy. It's about standing up for something of what you believe. Real men aren't afraid to stand out. We need men to stand out and go against the tide. Which brings me to point number 3. Boys are fractions, men are whole. See, there's a majority of what I would call an integrity crisis amongst men in our country today. Today we have men either having integrity or they don't. Integrity is a lifetime process that only takes a moment to lose it in a mere short amount of time. Men of integrity aren't posers. They don't act one way around their friends and another way around other people. I have a friend of mine who's a farmer close to Oskaloosa, and he's a fun guy to hang out. Oftentimes he comes and goes with us on our biker trips, and I call him the Marlboro man as he rides. He's a believer, but he also enjoys a smoke now and then. He will light up with whoever he's around. But he also, too, with that being said, he's a Christian man. And like most men, sometimes we have crutches of how we deal with life. We have nervous things that we do. For him, it might be having a smoke. For me, it's candy. For other men, it's different things. It's a place of where we find an easy place. But like all men, we all have those crutches, those glitches in our armor. See, real men aren't afraid to be who they are around everybody, and especially before God himself. See, this man I'm talking about, he stands in integrity. He's a man who I believe who understands manhood, and he also stands who he is before God himself. I think that's why I like hanging around this guy so much. He's a man of integrity, not a poser. Man who's willing to stand for who he is and who he is before the Lord. Which brings me to our final point this morning, point number 4. Boys crave independence. Men embrace interdependence. See, we live in a culture today that breeds independence. Your truth is your truth. What you believe is what you believe. That men are designed to be what we call lone rangers. That's what the majority wants us and wants us how to live. I found most of my independent moments, that's just the enemy oftentimes is lurking literally around the corner. It's in those moments that I have to be honest with you that I think as all men, we have temptation comes. No one will see, no one will know, and they think that we can't fail. But I want you to think for me for a moment about King David and his independence as a man. One night on a hot summer night, he's standing on the top of the place of where he was living. He was supposed to go to war with his men, but he didn't. So he hangs out. And what happens in a quiet moment, he sees a beautiful woman bathing on another top of a house. And what happens is lust comes into his heart, and eventually he commits adultery, which leads to murder of an innocent man. See, his dependence created a craving of a sexual desire, and because of his position and power, it led him to one of his greatest falls that we see in the Bible. And bear in mind, King David, he was a man who loved God with all of his heart, and no man since has ever been like him. So don't think any man is above the world's temptations through our independence. That's why men need accountability with other men. Like it says in Proverbs 27:17, that iron sharpens iron. Men sharpen each other. I need myself, other men in my life. That keeps me in check with the minority living as to majority traveling. I touched a little bit about this being part of the sheriff's office before, but I talked about that. But also, too, I have men in my life when I thought about making this decision about being part of the sheriff's posse. I first talked to my dad. I talked to Pastor Bill Tweed. And especially, I talked with my wife. I wanted feedback and what was best for my life. Men, I'm heading down the last chapter of my life, and I want it to be in tune with God the Father, my Savior Jesus Christ, and to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and how I can have good in men in my life. Men who speak truth and men who will help me with my interdependence of other men. And when I do that, that takes me to a minority position. I want to pray for you, for us as men today, that we'll stand as a minority position as opposed to take the majority flow. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, again, I just want to thank you for this day and the opportunity to speak to men, especially on Father's Day, about some tough situations, about being men of living a minority position. Lord, I just pray today that we can stand against the tide. We stand with you because we have the Holy Spirit alongside us that gives us strength and power to come against the enemy and his strides that come against us and the waves that always have a torrent against our lives. I pray today that fatherhood is so needed in our world today. We need men to be real, men who will stand and lead their families, lead as a minority leader for what truth calls us and how to live out. Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for being who you are, that you were a man of minority position. You went to a cross. I thank you for doing that, Lord. We love you and we praise you. In your name I pray. Amen. Men, be willing to live in a minority position as opposed to being a man who lives in the majority flow. I'm Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.